30. The Roost.
Yelta's poison is secreted throughout hibernation and lingers on the tusks. The poison hardens as it dries, encrusting the tusks before the hibernation period ends.
From Kolvenar Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 116. Amandal's throat burned.
"This way!"
Fench cried, zipping around a tree-trunk-like building. Amandal, cradled by one of the Yeltas, commanded the conjuration to run after the winged creature. Fench flew past two more structures, then turned right.
"It's here!"
The conjured Yeltas turned, bounding straight for a clearing that held a large pool of clear water.
"Lower me!"
Before the Yeltas' hand reached the ground, Amandal leapt toward the pool. He stumbled onto the dark teal grass, tripped, then fell face first. Pushing himself up, he staggered toward the water. Once near the pool, he threw himself onto its bank. Landing on his chest, Amandal shoved his hands into the water. A stinging chill pierced his fingers. He struggled to cup his hands as he raised them from the frigid pool. But before his hands reached his lips, the water drained completely.
"No!"
Amandal shoved his hands back into the water, and the chill pierced his fingers once again.
"Oh, it burns!"
Amid Amandal's pain, he heard the fluttering of Fench's wings. The winged creature flittered over the pool, then dipped his tail into the water. His lower wings stopped fluttering, and only the upper two continued moving.
"Do you need help?"
Fench asked. He lowered his tiny hands into the water, unfazed by the frigid temperature. Hands shaking, Amandal pulled them from the freezing pool. He struggled to retain the water as he brought his hands to his lips. What little made it into his mouth sent a shiver down his spine. His mouth was a strange dichotomy of too hot and too cold. The frigid water sent a spike of pain through his nose and up his forehead. Water splashed, and Fench dipped his tiny hands into the pool.
"Here,"
he said, extending his cupped hands. Amandal struggled to breathe as Fench pressed his clammy hands to Amandal's lips. Surprisingly, the water was not as cold. But how was that possible? Fench dipped his hands back into the water, then proffered another drink. Amandal accepted it, and the burning began to lessen. Fench continued helping, but Amandal was finally able to speak.
"That's better," he said. "Thank you, Fench."
A smile formed on the end of Fench's trunk.
"I'm glad you feel better. I don't know why it was burning."
Sucking in a deep breath, Amandal stood and surveyed the roost. They had run a considerable distance.
"Where are we?"
He reached out to his other conjurations, which were still at the stairs. He couldn't see them, but they were partway up the chamber's curved wall to his left.
"Up the wall?"
Amandal started. How was that possible? The ground where Amandal stood felt like level ground, but according to where the conjurations were, he should be partly on the roost's curved walls.
"This doesn't make any sense,"
he muttered, focusing on the conjurations, particularly their directional senses. To them, they too stood on level ground.
"What's wrong?"
Fench asked. Amandal turned toward the winged creature.
"We're on the wall."
Fench rose from the pool, shaking his tail and flapping his lower wings.
"No, we're not. This is the ground. There are no walls in the roost."
Confused, Amandal turned back to his conjurations. True, it felt as if he were standing on the ground, but so were the conjurations. Amandal set his jaw and looked about the roost. He studied the structures hanging from the ceiling. They, too, were surrounded by the dark teal grass.
"What about up there?"
Amandal asked, pointing to the ceiling. "Isn't that this chamber's ceiling?" Fench followed the gesture.
"No. That's ground. Every place is the ground."
"Impossible," Amandal thought. "That's absurd."
What?
Amandal chuckled, then reached out to his conjured gosset. It was perched atop one of the earthen giants, as it had been for most of the trek through Tartalim. "Fly," he commanded. He was going to discover the truth for himself. Amandal kept the conjured bird a few stories off the ground. He struggled to keep it flying in a straight line, but he didn't want to fly above the strange buildings. He followed the conjuration with his mind, occasionally spotting it among the buildings protruding from the side of the roost. It soon neared the ceiling, but to the conjuration, the ceiling was the ground. Amandal watched the bird fly between the hanging structures while sensing through the gossip that the buildings were not hanging at all. A strange sense of disorientation came over Amandal, and he fell forward. He closed his eyes, but couldn't shake the sensation. The gosset continued its flight, nearly completing a full circle around the roost. Once it was near, the disorientation abated. "To me," he commanded. The gosset flew above the frigid pool, then fluttered to perch atop Amandal's shoulder. "What is this place?" he muttered.
"My home,"
Fench said. Amandal raised an eyebrow at the winged creature. "This place isn't normal."
"Yes, it is."
Fench was so adamant in his opinion that he pestered Amandal into following him around the roost. The voice in Amandal's head didn't help as he struggled to resolve the apparent contradiction. They wandered in the direction opposite the camp, passing several structures that were different than the others. Though they still looked like something of nature, they were wider and shorter than the tree trunk buildings, rising only 5 stories. They were arranged in an oval around a clearing that held another staircase. Fench explained that it was where the younglings learned. They continued for a little while longer until they reached an open area about the same size as several Sauroth city blocks. 4 rivers, spaced equally apart, flowed toward a pit at the heart of the open area. Each river emptied into a perfect ring, 2 or so dozen finials wide, that wrapped around the pit. From what Amandal could tell, the pit looked twice as large as the tunnel at Tardalim's entrance. It was hemmed by a stone walkway that seemed to prevent the river's overflow from entering it. "What is that?" Amandal asked, pointing to the pit.
"It goes somewhere else," Fench said. "It's how we leave."
He put a perturbed emphasis on the last word.
"The others went that way."
"You're telling me that pit leads back to the entrance?" Fench shook his head. "So there's another way out of Tartalim?" he asked, "besides the entrance?"
"That's the only way,"
Fench said, and fluttered away. "The only way?" Amandal wondered, eyeing the water rimming the pit and the stone walkway. If the overflow was as frigid as the pool, then the expedition would need a way across. But there were no bridges to the pit or across any of the rivers. Why would the Tulidyne need a bridge, he thought. They probably just fly into the pit. A call from Fench interrupted Amandal, and he turned to face the winged creature. Fench was on the other side of the river, waving for Amandal.
"How am I going to cross that?"
he shouted, pointing to the river. Fench pointed toward the nearby buildings at the Yeltis lumbering into the open area. They continued their tour of the roost, eventually arriving back at the camp erected by Mirrodin. Many of the soldiers and mercenaries had returned from their plundering. A savory aroma filled the air with hints of tangy herbs. Near the camp's heart, one of the sailors stirred a stew within a cauldron that looked as if it had been transmuted. The fire pit beneath the cauldron was probably the source for the transmutation. "So the ground here is changeable," Amandal mused. "Maybe Dugal can make a bridge to the pit." Fench sniffed loudly beside Amandal.
"What is that?"
he cried with excitement and sped toward the chef, his tail flailing. He zipped in front of a mercenary, accidentally slapping his tail against the man's face.
"Careful, fairy," the mercenary spat.
Amandal chuckled, watching Fench flutter to an abrupt halt in front of the boiling stew. The sailor glanced nervously at Fench, but then returned his attention to the stew.
It smells so good,
Finch said. Maraudin emerged from between a pair of tents, smiling.
You're welcome to have some.
Finch squealed with excitement, and the sailor poured him a bowl. Amandal turned, eyeing Maraudin as he approached. Once near, he leaned toward Amandal.
Are you tired?
Was he worried about the conjurations running amok?
I'm fine, Amandal said. When Ildin and Fendar wake up, I'll have them enthrall the conjurations.
That might be a while, Maraudin said.
He sucked in his breath and looked about the camp.
How do you feel about moving them, in case you accidentally lose control?
Amandal shrugged. It wasn't a bad suggestion, but after eating those umbiliums, he hadn't felt the slightest bit of fatigue.
I think I'll be fine. Finch gave me something that has me wide awake, but I'll move them.
Much appreciated, Maraudin said, then stepped away. Now, if you'll excuse me, I want some rest.
Even after Ildin and Fendar awoke, Amandal had trouble sleeping. The effect of the umbiliums had not worn off in the slightest. Prior to relinquishing control, Amandal had claimed the Shannok from his earthen conjuration. He had also asked Finch to wash it in the pool of frigid water. There was no way he was going to carry it around with all that gunk on it. In an attempt to relax, Amandal lay on his cot inside his and Ildin's tent, studying the strange black object. What was it, and why was it important? Amandal glanced to the tent's ceiling, hoping to hear an answer from the voice in his head.
Nothing?
The voice had spoken only once after he discovered the Shannok, and the remark wasn't even related to the strange object.
Perhaps I'm free of him.
Sighing, Amandal twirled the Shannok. Its entire surface was incredibly smooth.
For all I know, this could be a paperweight.
He glanced to the tent ceiling again, but there was still no reply. Well, whatever it was, Amandal was going to keep it for himself. He leaned on his side and slipped the black object into his pack, shoving it down toward the handwritten copies of his family's tomes. As Amandal nestled back into his bed, soldiers and mercenaries began moving through the camp, boasting of their discoveries. Some claimed to have found weapons that burst with magic, and armor that was more than mere metal. Others spoke of finding ancient Tevis rolls, things that were rumored to exist in only myths and legends. Amandal closed his eyes and turned on his side. He breathed deeply, hoping to relax enough to fall asleep. But not even the slightest hint of fatigue overcame him. This is a waste, he thought. Those umbiliums seemed to have doomed him to perpetual sleeplessness. He tossed on his cot, facing a tent wall where several mercenaries loudly conversed with Idara's sailors. The noise didn't help either. Amandal tossed again, pulled his blanket over his head, and plugged an ear. With the conversation muffled, Amandal's mind began to wander but soon settled on Faelinia. Where was she? How far had she and the others ascended through Tartalim? Probably not very far, he thought. Without Finch, navigating Tartalim's shifting halls would be near impossible. Of course, she was probably scouting ahead with her flying illusions and finding staircases, but there was no way that would work once they reached Tartalim's higher floors.
They're not going to make it here.
Well, unless Bayim had a solution. She knew the expedition needed to ascend to the higher floors. Perhaps she had a way of navigating Tartalim. Besides, those other Mindalonians had made it to the 25th floor. Could they have had...
Is that it?
Amandal wondered, opening his eyes and staring at his pack. Was that Shannok something that could navigate Tartalim? Intrigued, Amandal tossed aside his covers and reached into his pack. He fished the Shannok out and studied it once more. Was it a sort of mapping, Tevis Rahl? Could it show the shifts? But wouldn't Finch have recognized it?
Well, he is a child.
Turning the Shannok over once more, Amandal returned it to his pack. He soon eased back onto his cot and closed his eyes.
There has to be a way to find them, he thought, turning on his side. The sailors were still boasting of their discoveries. Treasure hunters, he complained with a grunt. Amandal tossed again, plugging his exposed ear. Suddenly, horrific images flashed in his mind. He saw that monster chasing Felinia and the others through Tardalim's halls. It consumed her companions and then...
No!
He sat upright, running a hand through his hair. The tent door flapped open and Ildan poked his head inside. He started as his sapphire eyes settled on Amandal. You're still awake?
I can't sleep. Amandal shook his head. Those damned umbiliums.
Maybe I should eat some, Ildan said.
They stared at each other for a moment before the illusionist broke the silence. Miradin is organizing a rescue party. Bench says he can show us how to find the others with some kind of map. Amandal tossed aside his covers and leapt to his feet.
When do we leave?